Welcome to the Issue Is podcast. I'm Alex Michelson. This week, the big story, of course, was that horrific Texas school shooting, which really rocked the consciousness of the entire country and renewed debates about gun control and mental health and other issues as well. We'll touch on that during this show. We also are very close to an election here in California. June 7th, the last day to vote. People have been voting for the last month in this race. We'll talk about three different races in this show: the LA mayor's race, the race for controller, and the race for insurance commissioner. Let's begin with the race for LA mayor, which is probably the most high-profile race other than governor in the state, and the governor's race is not all that exciting this year. For the LA mayor's race, you got two very high-profile, well-respected, well-liked candidates, either of whom could win. Karen Bass, the congresswoman from Los Angeles, who, of course, started the Community Coalition for Nurse Practitioner, who became the Speaker of the California Assembly, the chair of the Congressional Black Caucus, author of the George Floyd Justice and Policing Act, and now running for mayor. You got Rick Caruso, business magnate, founder of places like The Grove, the Americana, former chair of the L.A. Police Commission, chair of the USC Board of Trustees. Caruso is spending more money than any other candidate in the history of the city, over $20 million spent, more money than anybody running anywhere, flooding the airwaves with ads in this race. Can he beat Bass, who's more of a traditional Democrat with a lot of traditional Democratic constituencies? Next week, Rick Caruso is going to be with us. This week, Karen Bass is with us in studio. So let's hear from her now and start with that big issue of guns. Congresswoman Bass, welcome back to The Issue. It's good to see you.
Thanks for having me on.
So you've seen this from the state, federal, and now local level. What is the one most important thing that can be done to prevent something like this from happening
again? Well, first of all, Governor Abbott made the case for national gun laws. So yes, we have great gun laws here in California, but until we address this problem nationally, it's very difficult for California to get a handle on it. Now, I support 100% the governor passing legislation that will allow individuals to sue the gun manufacturers, because we need to be clear as to who really controls the NRA. It's the gun manufacturers. Even gun owners support gun control.
You know, a lot of Republicans say we need to do something about mental health. This is a mental health issue. Is there a bipartisan consensus on mental health, though? Is there something that could be done? Because clearly guns are a problem, but is it possible mental health is also a problem?
You know, it is so disingenuous for them to say that, because I would embrace it 100% if they were actually willing to do something on mental health. They say that every time as a diversion, but will not put $1 into mental health resources so that we really can have a decent mental health system in our country. We clearly don't. That is absolutely needed, but that is a very disingenuous argument from them.
Let's talk about the issue of policing as well. This was the two-year anniversary of George Floyd's murder this week. You, of course, were the author of the George Floyd Justice and Policing Act in the House. It passed twice in the House, did not get Republican votes in the Senate. So this week, you were at the White House. Let's show some video of this. You were on hand with the president as he signed a series of executive actions to require federal law enforcement agencies to follow much of what you wanted in that bill. You see right there is George Floyd's daughter. So here's some of those new rules. Creates a national police accountability database. Ban chokeholds and carotid restraints unless deadly force is authorized, and requires the adoption of body-worn cameras. What's your big takeaway from that experience of getting that done?
Well, you know what? I'm very thankful for the president for stepping up and doing this. But, you know, I think of my former colleague John Lewis, who always said, find a way out of no way. So if you can't get something done legislatively, then try another way. Senator Booker and I, as you mentioned, we passed it out of the House. I did my job, but it stalled in the Senate. And we know that the president has even had difficulty getting bills out of the Senate. So when we reached a wall, Senator Booker and I went to the White House and we asked the administration, please take our bill and please do as much as you can with an executive order. So the senator and I have worked with the White House over the last few months, and it was really nice to be able to go to the White House and watch the president sign that. Of course, it was bittersweet because it was also the anniversary of his murder. But to be there with his family, and they were gratified that finally something was being done.
Of course, that is your day job right now. Let's talk about the job you want to do next, which is L.A. mayor. You're in the midst of running against Rick Caruso, and this is a statewide show for people that live in the L.A. market. They've probably seen a Rick Caruso ad, maybe.
I don't know how they
possibly
could have avoided it.
They're running over and over and over and over and over again. The biggest spend ever in the history of the city.
Yes.
More money spent by Rick Caruso than any other candidate in the entire country in this race. Over 20 million. $20 million. A lot of it are positive ads about him, but there are plenty of negative ads about you. Some of them from his campaign, others from independent expenditures. Mm-hmm. You've also got an independent expenditure that you're not connected to that's running negative ads against him. What is it like to have that happen to you, to be running against somebody spending that much money?
Well, I mean, I think it just is, it shows a flaw in our democracy, in the sense that if you do have independent wealth, you don't have any accountability at all. You can put as much money into the campaign as you want. If you run a normal race like I do, then I have to account for and be accountable for every single dollar. So to see someone spend that kind of money, I just think about, because it's well over $30 million, I just think about how many people could be housed with that amount of money. I just think about all of the good that could be done with that amount of money.
Well, and let's talk a little bit about that issue in particular, housing, homelessness. We've done deep dives with you on that issue and with him. We did a whole debate on it, and I don't want to get into all of that right now. But what is the most fundamental difference in terms of homelessness if you're in charge versus if he's in charge?
Well, I think I believe in a whole of government approach. I believe that we cannot end this problem until we bring the federal government, state, county, and city government to bear. And I have those deep relationships. I'm working right now with the HUD department, the Housing and Urban Development, and I'm hoping that the Secretary of HUD will come out soon and that we can get some relief. You know, HUD sent us 3,000 vouchers. We're only able to use 500 because of restrictions in the vouchers. So I'm working right now to get those restrictions lifted. To me, it's not about what I'm going to do if I have the honor of being mayor. It's about how I'm going to use my power and position right now as a member of Congress to address this issue.
And in terms of the race, bigger picture, because we've got some video of this unity rally that you held this week at Dodger Stadium. Big cross-section of leaders from around Southern California all coming out to support you. Here's that. You see Mike Fuhr, who was running in the race, and Antonio Villaraigosa, the former mayor, all talking about you. Philosophically, it seems like this race really comes down to a difference in what each of you, you and Caruso, think the job actually is, and how to do the job itself. How do you see the philosophical difference between the two of you?
Well, first of all, the point of that unity conference was to say, building a coalition is not so we all feel good. It's not a namsy-pamsy thing. It's a way you marshal your resources. And we need to bring everything to bear in this city to address the problems that we face. And it's what I've been doing in terms of building coalitions to solve very difficult problems for many, many, many years. I do have experience governing. He has experience running a corporation. Those are different types of experiences. And so I think that what we need to do in order to address our problems is we need to mobilize and marshal all of the talent, all of the skills, the knowledge that we have in this city in order to address problems. It's not about kumbaya. It's about getting to work.
I mean, is it fair to say that the difference is you sort of think that the way we fix all this is we got to bring people together and find a way together to make this work? And he's saying, that doesn't work. We need an executive. Somebody needs to be in charge, and somebody needs to be held accountable.
Oh, well, I agree with him 100%. This is about decisive leadership, absolutely. Again, building coalitions is not about having a party and feeling good. It's marshaling resources that then a leader can lead on. And so I think that that is absolutely true. The difference is that this is not an autocracy. This is a democracy, and so we need a decisive leader, but the decisive leader has to work with the city council. You can't disparage the people that you're going to be working with. You have to figure out, I mean, one of our structural problems is the city and the county doesn't work together. Mm-hmm. I have deep relationships in both of those areas, and we have to stop saying the city builds, the county provides services. We have to do both at the same time. The people in those tents need to be housed, but they also need services at the same time.
You've seen some of the negative ads against you. One of them is saying that you're not there in Congress for the votes.
I know.
Other things.
What
is your response to
work.
That?
Well, I mean, I think that Rick Caruso has spent millions of dollars to raise his poll numbers because people didn't know who he was. After those millions of dollars, now we're running neck and neck. If he's going to beat me, he has to drag me down. And so the negative ads are about dragging me down. And unfortunately, in this post-Trump world, it's not really post-Trump world. We're still suffering from Trump. But what has happened is that people have no problem now doing ads and saying things that are just absolutely untrue or to distort, you know, what is true. I think what people know about me is that I work 7 days a week and that I will find a way out of no way. And I think an example of that is what you saw 2 days ago at the White House. I don't think that the president would be talking about the contribution that I made toward this effort if I didn't show up to work.
Let's talk about the rules of this race,
yes,
right? Because it's kind of confusing because
it is.
There's the California primary right. for the statewide offices, which means top two advance no matter what.
Right.
For the city, if somebody gets 50% plus one on June 7th, they become the mayor. And
right.
it's possible that you could do that. It's possible that he could do that.
Right.
Based off of the polling that you're seeing right now, do you think that's a realistic possibility for either of you
no.
to hit that 50%?
No, I don't. No, that's not what the polls are showing now. The polls are showing us being neck and neck and neither side being able to reach 50.1. But I will tell you that I'm going to do everything I can to get there in the next few days, because one thing about politics, it might be just a little over 10 days before the election, but in the world of politics, that's like a year. Anything can happen. And so we have hundreds of people out walking, calling, doing phones, texting messages, doing whatever we can to turn out our vote.
All right. We always like to have a little fun on this show, right?
Uh-huh.
So this time we're going to play Personal Issues, which you've played before.
Uh-oh.
But we're going to do L.A. edition. So we've got the audio to I Love L.A.
Uh-huh.
And this is some of your favorites in L.A.
Okay,
ready? What's your favorite L.A. tourist attraction?
My favorite tourist attraction is definitely a beach. No question. Going down to Venice and Santa Monica Beach.
Favorite L.A. restaurant?
Favorite L.A. restaurant? Mai Tai.
Favorite L.A. sports team?
Dodgers.
Okay, I'd say Lakers.
But
that's me. You picked one, though. Dodgers. Favorite L.A. music venue?
Well, it used to be called the Staples Center. Now it's CryptoCon.
Yeah. Who is your favorite L.A. politician of all time?
My favorite L.A. politician of all time? How about Mayor Villaraigosa?
Oh, there you go. Who's endorsing you, of course. Rick Caruso is going to be here next week, and we'll hear from him. But I'll say to you what I will also say to him.
Uh-huh.
Thank you so much for your kindness towards me and towards our show. And whatever happens on June 7th, we appreciate your integrity and your class and your kindness.
Oh, you are very, very welcome. And by the way, the same goes between the two of us.
Oh, thank you very much. Our thanks to Karen Bass. Now, to the race for California Comptroller, a race that doesn't usually get a lot of attention, but is really interesting this year. Because could we have a situation where a Republican finally wins statewide for the first time since 2007? Lonnie Chen is giving it a good try. We've had him on the show recently. He's at Stanford, worked for Mitt Romney. The LA Times actually endorsed him, said it'd be good to have somebody independent in that race. This week, we talked to the Democratic nominee, who's been endorsed by the state party, Malia Cohen, about why she is the best choice. Welcome to The Issue Is for the very first time. Great to have you on.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
All right. So let's talk about this job, which is one that not a lot of people maybe know that much about. Why does controller matter and why should people pick you?
When we're talking about the state controller's position, I describe it in a very simple way. The treasurer brings the money in to state government, and the controller is responsible for the disbursement of those dollars. So the controller, she writes the checks and they go out. And so the controller's function is important because you have the ability to call an audit and find out where money's being spent, how much it's being spent, are we spending it wisely? And that is where I think Californians care about the controller's position, because they see the affordability crisis, they see the homelessness, and they are wondering, hey, I'm spending my tax dollars, but where are they going?
So the usually progressive LA Times editorial board actually endorsed Republican Lonnie Chen for this role. Here's what they said. Among the strong field, we believe that Chen is the best choice for this position. Why? Because he's a sharp thinker with experience analyzing large financial systems, and because the controller should be as independent from the party as possible. So why are the LA Times wrong on that? Basically saying that it'd be good to have somebody outside of the Democratic Party to check the Democratic Party.
That's a great question. And you'd have to ask the editorial board for the Los Angeles Times. I don't know how their logic and their reasoning really adds up. I think what we do know is that California is the leader on many, many fronts. And here we are talking about a rifles ban and assault rifle ban for manufacturers. We're here, we're talking about reproductive rights. I mean, these are all relevant, timely issues, policy issues, and discussions that we're having. And so we don't know where Lonnie Chen is on any of these particular issues. I wonder if he will flip-flop. He'll say one thing when he's not in office and say another when he gets into office, much like what we see on a national scene. Also, the other thing that I think the LA Times misses is the fact that Lonnie Chen has never been elected and has never held the confidence of any constituency at all. So it is very generous of them to believe that he can step up to do it. It's one thing to be a staffer. It's one thing to be to work at a think tank. And I think it's another opportunity, another thing to be actually in the job, doing the work, what I've been doing, Alex. I mean, I've been elected in office for about 12, almost 13 years. I represent the broadest cross-section that is representative for the state of California, agricultural lands, suburban, urban, rural parts of the state of California. No other candidate can say that they represent and can connect with those issues like I can.
All right. Well, we play a game on this show called Personal Issues, where you get a chance to have a little bit of fun. This is 30 seconds to learn your favorites. You ready to go?
Got it.
Okay. What is your favorite TV show?
My favorite TV show? Gosh, I don't really watch that much television, so I...
Okay, it's going to be the issue is. Favorite book?
My favorite book is, it's kind of an old one. It's just How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie.
Ah, good one. Favorite band or musician?
I would have to be an old-time favorite, standard classic, and that's Michael Jackson.
Thanks to Malia. Now to a race that hasn't gotten a lot of attention in the past, but certainly interesting the fall this year, insurance commissioner.
Buenos dias, California Democrats!
It could be that the only way to beat a Democrat statewide in California is with another Democrat.
Voters are looking for a choice. I'm really proud to offer that to them.
Democratic Assemblyman Mark Levine is challenging Ricardo Lara, the state's incumbent Democratic insurance commissioner.
I'm Mark Levine.
Levine is endorsed by the San Francisco Chronicle, the Mercury News, and the LA Times.
It's humbling that after 10 years in the legislature, every newspaper in the state has endorsed my campaign for insurance commissioner.
All of the papers blasting Lara's record on ethics. From the Sacramento Bee, California needs an insurance commissioner with ethics. This candidate could restore trust. From the Mercury News, California needs consumer protection, not partying, dining, and cozying up with industry lobbyists and executives.
Ricardo Lara, in fact, has been caught taking money from insurance companies that he then helped by overruling his own staff. So he's there for the wrong reasons.
Lara did not agree to an interview with us, despite our repeated invites to his campaign. Lara is backed by the California Democratic Party, Senator Alex Padilla, and Governor Gavin Newsom.
People endorsed him before I decided to get in this race, but no one's endorsed him since I got in this race.
But, of course, those people are still standing by their endorsement of Ricardo Lara. It'll be interesting to track all of these races. We encourage you to get out there and vote. Election centers are now open. Mail back your ballots. And check out the Secretary of State's website for more information on where you can vote or if you have any questions on that. We'll be back next week. Our guests will be Rick Caruso and also Carla Marinucci making a comeback, which we can't wait for. In the meantime, I'm Alex Michelson. Thanks for listening. See you next time for more of The Issue Is.